What's up, sports fans? Welcome back to Couchside Sports.
Right.
This is your host, Kyle French, and on the other line,
Michael Burke.
As always. And we're here where we give you our perspectives on sports from the comforts of our couches. The way it should be.
Oh, yeah.
And it is Friday, December 22nd. We have episode 23 today. And since it's episode 23, we figured we'd shake things up a little bit. And we'll start a running segment here where whatever the episode number is, we'll just talk about the greatest athletes to ever wear that number. So 23 is a pretty big one.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You want to kick us off with just a couple hot names out the gate?
Sure. Obviously, we got two names that everybody knows.
Who's that?
Everybody loves, everybody respects. We got MJ, Michael Jordan, and, you know, LeBron James. The man out here still doing, putting in work for number 23. But there are some other athletes that people like are probably familiar with, but probably didn't like realize, you know, since they're not those two guys.
Yeah, yeah.
One that I want to add in there is Don Mattingly.
Yep.
Nicknamed Mr. Baseball.
How do you get that name?
Because he's a boss.
He
spent his entire 14-year career playing first base. For the Yankees, he's a 6-time All-Star, won 9 Gold Glove Awards, 3 Silver Sluggers.
No rings.
He served as a Yankee team captain, but never won a World Series. His number is retired. They retired it back in 1997. But Donnie Baseball is one.
Okay. I gotta throw a name out there. He actually retired recently. Devin Hester. He might not be the greatest, like, football player of all time, but as far as special teams goes, he's the greatest return man ever in football history. So even if it's something as small as that, if you're the best there's ever been in your sport at it, I think we got to give your name some love. So I think he'll be the first return man ever in the Hall of Fame. I hope he is. So maybe we'll see that number 23, you know, up in the rafters in Chicago and also in Canton, Ohio.
Devin Hester is crazy fast, man. You never want to kick it off to him.
Think he could beat?
Or something like, I would just.
Did you beat Usain Bolt in a race?
That I'm not sure of. Usain speed.
how about
crazy.
Tyreek Hill versus Devin Hester?
That's a good race. That's tough to call as well, though, because Tyreek Hill is just a freak. That dude is so fast.
I'd pay to see that race.
I would as well.
He did beat a cheetah, Devin Hester, in a race.
Really?
Yeah, they had cheetah running on the other side of the wall, and they had to run like down a certain distance, like touch the ground and run back. I mean, he technically beat the cheetah. It's the same way like Mike, you know, Phelps. I think he lost to the shark when Phelps raced the shark, but the animals don't really know what they're doing. Obviously, if the cheetah...
Yeah, how motivated is this cheetah?
Nah, probably not very motivated. It was a zoo cheetah, so that doesn't even count.
Yeah, right. It's not even in the wild. You know, yeah. Chasing down its prey and stuff.
Yeah. That's a coddled animal. They just offer up meat to it. Hester would stand no chance in the wild. But a couple other names that I figured I'd throw in there. A couple basketball guys who they're not like Hall of Famers or huge names, but they definitely have some, you know, remarkable achievements. So Jason Richardson, 2-time dunk champion. We got Alex English, career leader in scoring for the Denver Nuggets, underrated shooting guard, you know, back in the 70s and 80s. And Marcus Camby won a defensive player of the year for the Knicks, had a fairly successful, decently long career. So I figured I'd just throw those three names out there. Three big guys who wore number 23 in the NBA.
Marcus Camby, great. Love that guy.
Ball don't lie. Actually, that was somebody else, so I'll cut that.
I got one more that I didn't even know of because I'm not even a soccer fan, but David Beckham wore number 23.
Yeah, that one's kind of up in the air, though, because he did wear it, but it was kind of like how MJ wore the 45 for a year. Like, he didn't wear it in his prime, like when he was over playing in the Premier League, you know, in England. He just wore it when the end of his career in L.A., in the MLS.
He also wore it. He also wore it when he was playing for Real Madrid.
Oh, really? All right. Yeah. Nice. Well, definitely a GOAT.
So shout out to David Beckham.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, 100%. Good to bring him up. He's debatably the soccer GOAT. I don't know.
I think it's Messi.
Yeah, that's actually facts. I hate to go with the young guys.
90 goals in 60 games.
Yeah, how many was it? What was that number?
It was like 91 goals, like 69 games or something like that.
There it is. Stat of the week.
That's so crazy. There we go.
We got one. All right, so that's, you know, best number 23s to ever play. Hopefully we didn't leave anyone out. I'm sure there was like NHL players that I just don't really know of too well.
Yeah.
That probably would have made the list.
We need to get the hockey specialist on here.
Yeah, we'll get him on to maybe give his take on that one.
Maybe throw him the login information for our Twitter real quick.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to do that. And as always, that is at Couchside Sports with a Z.
With a Z.
And now we got to talk about the biggest moment of the past week here. The robbery at Heinz Field. Patriots versus Steelers. Yeah. Biggest game of the year. Take us through what happened while you were watching this game.
All right. Well, I'm watching this game. This was a roller coaster of emotions for me because it gets down to it. Brady leads the charge, almost throws a pick, but goes right through the defender's hands. Once that happened, I was like, all right, turn and score. You can't give Brady another chance like that. He was just feeding Gronk. Nobody could stop Gronk. They get down, they score. It's looking great. I'm like, all right, they got this win wrapped up.
Yeah, they're up three, like less than a minute.
Exactly. Sitting on the couch, like, loving life. This is great. Awesome. And then they throw a drag to Juju Smith-Schuster, and he just, like, breaks off, like, 70 yards. And I was like, what just happened? Like, are you kidding me?
That was, it was like, devastating.
The Pats really lose this game off of that. Like, I'm so, like, I was already mad because I lost Antonio Brown. And now, unfortunately, in the championship against you, I don't have my best player, but. We'll get to that later.
Hey, he might play. You never know.
No, he's done. They said he's done until the playoffs. So, next thing happens, I'm like, all right, maybe they can still stop him. You know, they kick a field goal. We'll see what happens. And then they throw a touchdown to Jesse James. I'm like, great. So I was like, all right, 28 seconds left or whatever. Maybe, I think it was less, actually, time. So, like, you know what, whatever. Like, it's a loss. This will just motivate the team more. Doesn't matter. At least it's not the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, hold up. Wait a minute. And they're like, oh, this touchdown, Jesse James dropped the ball. And I was like, what?
Yeah, no, they reviewed it for 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. And the pass got totally lucky because I honestly thought that was a touchdown.
Yeah, and it really should have been. You know, we'll get into that conversation with the controversy over what's a catch and not. But he, like, kind of he catches it, and he, like, leans into the end zone. The ball wobbles as it hits the ground. And basically, it's like the Dez Bryant play from a couple years ago where really he did catch it, and he's like making the next move to try to get it into the end zone, and they rule it like he's going to the ground. He doesn't secure it through the ground. Big mess. I know everyone, I've had so many people come up to me who aren't Patriots fans and be like, oh, this would only happen if it's the Patriots, which actually is not true. I mean, we've seen it happen, like I mentioned, to Dez Bryant. It's happened to Calvin Johnson. The Lions lost the game off of it. I mean, the call is, it's so tough, especially with the way the rule is written. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, you did see, like, I know people say that the ground can't cause a fumble and stuff like that, which is a clear rule, obviously. But when this guy, when Jesse James reached over the into the end zone, his elbow hit the ground, and then that's when he bobbled it. So, like...
Well, and also,
he's down, but he's not down because no one touched him. Like, it's just a mess.
Yeah, there's a lot of things at play, but the bottom line is, you know, this could have happened at any point on the field, even if a guy was touching him, even if the ground caused the fumble. Like, none of that really matters that much. It's just that one rule where the guy's, like, going to the ground, he has to secure it through the ground. And it's not really a good rule in the end. Like, I think the refs made the right call. But I think the rule is wrong itself, and I don't really know how to fix that.
Yeah, they're gonna have to take a look at this rule because, you know, that cost the Steelers a win, that cost them potentially home field advantage, which could potentially cost them a trip to the Super Bowl, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, it really could have that butterfly effect, you know, where to Travis Scott
and Ashton Kutcher.
But yeah, I think just the way. that the rule is, the best way is to rule it subjectively, right? When you're watching at home on your couch, as you should be, you see it and you know that's a catch or that isn't a catch. And that is obviously a catch, which Jesse James caught. But there's no way to work subjectivity into it. They have to write an objective rule. And if you leave it subjectively up to the refs, then you have a whole nother problem on your hands because they're going to make calls that fans don't agree with. And then all of a sudden it's all on the refs and they don't have a rule to stand on. So it's a mess. But I have one solution. I'll throw it out. You get 2 minutes. Controversial catches. NFL throws up a Twitter poll. Catch or no catch. The fans vote. That's the way it should be, right?
That'd be crazy because, I mean, then it just depends on who's got more of a fan base.
Okay, well, so what we'll do is you have to register as a fan of a certain team. You can't vote if your team is part of the catch or no catch.
There we go. I like that.
So we'll have a bunch of, like, Jaguars fans in England voting on if it's a catch or not. The educated British football fans.
Oh, yeah, those Jaguars, man. They can make a run.
They are. That's right. This is the first step in towards the Jags getting that one seed. Only one game out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they got the tiebreaker on the Steelers. No idea if they have it on the Patriots. We tried to figure it out. Too complicated. We'll let the big guns do that one. So.
Yeah, we're not fading enough.
Yep. And then, of course, I don't know if we mentioned this or not, but the next play, Big Ben tries to run a fake spike and throws an interception. And all of a sudden, like you said, roller coaster of emotions. As Patriots fans, we go from worst case scenario overtime to all of a sudden we won the game. So it was crazy.
That was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Depends on who you talk to, but I agree. It was awesome.
That was not the dumbest thing that Ben Roethlisberger did that night, though. I want to say the dumbest thing that Ben Roethlisberger did that night was when he was asked about it later.
Yeah.
Throw his coach under the bus for it.
Yeah, that was amazing.
He's trying to like, oh, I want to clock it. Then they got Tommy Meyer saying, don't clock it. Okay, well, first of all, you're the one that threw that pass.
Yeah.
If you are a smart enough quarterback, you throw it away or something. Like, I don't know what you were thinking. You're going to force feed it right in there. Like, you have three passes around him. And they're going to try to blame the coach. And you threw a pick. Like, man up.
Yeah, and like, if you're going to run the fake spike, that's one thing. Like, I'm game for it. I think it's a good play. But if it doesn't work immediately, like, he didn't really fool anyone except for his own players. He had one receiver running for the ball. Everyone else was standing with their hands on their hips. Like, once you realize...
He ran a slant into the box.
Yeah. Like, once you realize that no one is running except for your one receiver and eight Patriots defenders, just give it up. Like you said, throw it away.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Like you said, it might have implications later on, you know, who gets home field advantage, who ends up, you know, that's a likely AFC championship matchup. I think the Pats would take it no matter where it lies, but you never know.
Yeah, same.
Moving off of the Patriots-Steelers wagon there, we had a different NFL experience go down. Our fans may have seen this on Twitter, but a lucky Couchside co-host got to meet a couple NFL superstars. So you want to tell us what happened down in New York?
All right. So as I mentioned before, I work at this attraction in Times Square called the NFL Experience. It's pretty cool. If you guys ever want to check it out, come on down, drop my name, maybe something in the box office, and you guys are a little listening. Maybe I'll buzz the numbers for you.
Yeah.
But, so I go in that day, and we all know that Eli Manning is coming and Robbie Anderson is coming. I show up, we got a line down the block, wrapped around the block. I was like, this is crazy. So many people want to meet Eli. I'm sitting in the box office because normally that's where they put me, you know, handling the money, distributing the tickets, talking to the people, selling the experience. You know, that's what I do.
Yeah, doing your thing.
So my manager comes over. He's like, oh, come outside with me. We're going to greet Eli. So I stand outside. Eli's car pulls up. It's just like him and like this woman who's like his driver.
Where does he drive?
I mean, there's a cops there. It was like a GMC Denali, like all blacked out.
Okay.
So he hops out. Everyone's like, yeah, Eli, cheer, whatever. We say, what's up? He walks right past us. Doesn't say a thing to any fan. Doesn't even wave. Just walks right past us. Goes right upstairs. Sits in his chair. It has an hour. And he just machines autographs. for an hour. Maybe he has like short little hi-bye conversations with people, but he was just machining autographs. So at one point, my manager's like, if you want to go up and get something, you can. So I guess his contract is super strict. They weren't letting anybody take pictures. We could only get things signed. You couldn't bring your own stuff to get signed because Spanish Sports is like really strict with stuff. But
is this in your contract?
No, it was Steiner's.
Oh, okay.
His agency. Yeah. So, gotcha. So I got a football guy brought up there. I was like, hey, Eli, thanks for coming out. He was like, yeah, no problem. Happy holidays. And then that was it.
Nice. Was he machining those autographs like he machines interceptions in fourth quarters?
Oh, yeah. He looked super comfortable in his element, just like he was throwing picks.
Nice.
So we had Eli. He left after an hour. And then Robbie Anderson came in. Robbie Anderson was a lot more personable. He actually went through the experience and everything.
Oh, that's dope.
I got a picture with him. I didn't get anything signed just because I'm not going to spend money to get something signed by Robbie Anderson. I mean, shout out Robbie Anderson. He's doing great for the Jets, but he's not a Super Bowl MVP. I doubt that he ever will be, so didn't really care about his autograph. Got a picture with him, though. But he was a nice guy. He talked to people a little bit more. I mean, he had more time because there wasn't as many people there to see him. Yeah, it was a cool experience. I'm definitely going to be able to meet more players in the future because we have a lot of players coming through all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll make sure I recap those for everybody. But, yeah, meeting Eli was subpar. Meeting Robbie Anderson was slightly above subpar.
Nice. And the attraction, like, just recently opened, so it's not like players have been there in the past. Like, if they ever wanted to go, now's kind of the time. It's not like they've been there and done that, right?
No, of course. There were a lot of players there for the grand opening, which I unfortunately did not get to work. Like, Julian Edelman was there, Matt Forte. I've seen Brandon Marshall there before. We had, like, some legends, like Chris Carter was there. We had the guys from Impractical Jokers there.
Oh, yeah, more professional athletes.
Kind of cool. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm excited to see who we get. We finally started selling beer, so maybe Gronk will stop by soon.
Yeah,
be great. I'll keep you guys updated.
Yeah, nice. Gronk will probably come through, sign like 69 signatures, and leave.
And then take 69 shots.
And then get hurt dancing or something and miss the Super Bowl.
And Patriots will still win.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty dope. I actually coincidentally had an experience down in New York the same very day.
All right.
Wished I could have come by to visit the NFL experience, but didn't have time or money.
Yep.
But I was down in NYC heading up to MSG, Madison Square Garden. Got to watch the Knicks Thunder game. Got off my couch, as you have to do, you know, every once in a while. So I was enjoying sports the way that it shouldn't be, but that's fine for an occasional night out. So it was Carmelo Anthony coming back to the Garden for the first time. Of course, the Knicks had played the Thunder earlier in the year, but that took place in OKC. And I really went there because I wanted to see how the fans would, like, accept him. And it was actually really weird. So, you know, I got to my seats early, and when he came out for warm-ups, they all booed him. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess they'll boo him all night. When he comes out for the starting lineups and they announce, like, at small forward, number 7, you know, whatever, they play, like, a 3-minute tribute video. Everyone's giving him, like, a standing ovation. And I'm like, okay, the mood completely changed. Maybe just the people who got here early are Melo haters and they left before the game started. I don't know. And then the ball tips, and Westbrook gets it. He passes it to Melo, and they just shower him with booze. So it was really weird. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I was there rooting for Melo. I don't know who I would have wanted to see win between the Knicks and the Thunder, but I just wanted to see Melo have a good game. Unfortunately, he didn't. He scored like 12 points real early and then went cold, and he didn't score in the second half at all. And probably his last bucket was like early second quarter. So that was tough to see. And also Porzingis didn't play.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you would have liked to see the unicorn.
Oh, yeah, of course. How many times did you get to see a unicorn?
Not often. I've actually never seen one. But the cool thing,
great story,
was we got to see Michael Beasley. He's in the midst of a pretty incredible run for the Knicks, partially due to Kristaps being out. And he went off. He had 30
MVP.
Points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And then Ron Baker and Dougie McBuckets, who I thought were still in college, couldn't miss from three. So it was pretty dope. Got to see a game in MSG. Have you ever been to MSG? I know you've been down in New York for a few years.
Yeah, I've been to MSG quite a bit. I never went to like a Knicks game, but I've been to plenty of St. John's games at MSG.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that their home floor?
I saw Dougie McBuckets. No, it's just so we have like a stadium or Carter Second Arena on campus, but we play some of our conference, whatever you call it, some of the big games there. Like I've seen when McDermott was on Creighton, I went to see that game that was at MSG.
Oh, nice.
So sometimes we it costs a lot of money, but sometimes St. John's will have some home games at MSG. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. I mean, it's a world-renowned arena. So, you know, the experience was great. For some reason, they didn't let us into the arena until like an hour and a half before tip, which seems like that's a long time before the ball goes up. But it's not really like that much. Like most places let you in well earlier than that. So I had to wait in line to get in there, but that's whatever. It's still cool. So, yeah, that's a little couch side, off the couch talk for you guys. Get out and doing some stuff, but right back to the couch, right?
Of course.
The way it should be.
Gotta give the fans what they want.
Exactly. And since we're a little out of our element, we'll get right back into our element. A little breaking news that isn't news.
Ooh.
And I believe you may have some related to your experience you just discussed. So you want to break it down for us?
I do. So breaking news that isn't news. Eli Manning is extremely awkward when it comes to social things.
That hurts.
I mean, you wouldn't wave to any of the fans. Not that a small talk, but I mean, everyone can do some small talk, especially just meeting someone like, oh, hi, nice to meet you, stuff like that. But yeah. He just like kind of looks uncomfortable a little bit, like meeting all these people. I've had interactions with Peyton before, and Peyton was a lot more personable.
You've had interactions with Peyton?
Yes, I have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was interning for this company. It's a nonprofit called Gen Youth. They do like the NFL Play 60 for like the kids and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had a big gala, and Peyton was there. So was Roger Goodell, and Peyton was like signing footballs and like helmets and stuff to have raffled off. And like I was the person that was like taking them from him. So he was a little bit more personal. He's like talking to people and stuff.
Nice.
I mean, Eli's a nice guy. He seemed like a genuine guy. Just a little socially awkward, that's all. But I mean, you can tell that he's probably a little socially awkward. just looking at him.
Yeah, and visually, does he look like a horse in person as well as on the field, or is that just a TV
100%
thing?
100% absolutely. No, he definitely does look like a horse.
Oh, that's too bad. So it's not the camera.
While you missed the unicorn, I got to see the horse.
yeah, the original unicorn.
Yeah. Honestly, he just didn't seem like an interesting guy to talk to. I didn't really have much to say anyway, so.
All right, so that's a little breaking news that isn't news. I've got some quick, easy breaking news that isn't news for you guys. Basically, we all knew this was coming, and the schedule's been out for a while, so it's not really breaking news, but it's that type of season, so Christmas Day has rolled around. And once again,
all right,
we will get to watch the Cavs versus Warriors play the afternoon game, prime time. It's been 3 years running. Obviously, if they win, you know, their respective conferences, they'll probably play again next year. And we also get the Knicks and the Lakers, big markets. They're always on Christmas Day. The Knicks kind of just creep on there. It's like they're there because they're a big market, but they play at 10:30
exactly.
Eastern, so no one's really going to watch them. But
no, yeah, everybody's like up, unwrapping gifts, preparing dinner. Nobody cares about the Knicks.
Yeah, well, the Knicks are early, right? When do they play? They're the first game, I think.
Yeah,
they tip at like 12 or something, I don't know. And then the Lakers, like I mentioned, real late, so they kind of squeeze those in. No one will really watch those, but they get their clout because they're big markets. So that's just some casual breaking news that isn't news. But while we're on the subject, we'll run down our thoughts on some Christmas Day games. So is there any big games that you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, you know it's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
The Wolves-Lakers?
You were pretty close.
Okay.
But I'm looking at the Wizards Celtics.
That's my next guess.
I'm waiting to see John Wall versus Kyrie. Probably the two best point guards in the East. Going head to head. It'll be really cool.
How
to see.
Dare you disrespect Jose Calderon?
Well, I mean, Jose hasn't really been doing much for me lately.
I guess so. He's a legend in his own right.
He is. I mean, if this was 10 years ago, then 100% he'd be in the conversation. But
true.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Celtics, but it's going to be a good matchup. Revisiting what happened in the playoffs last year, but it's a little different because they're different teams. But still got the Celtics in that one. I think the Celtics will win. I think it's in Boston, so that helps as well.
Yeah,
but,
that'll help.
I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. I think John Wall has been kind of struggling with injuries. So hopefully he's at his peak. You know, I trust that he'll be going hard, especially in a big game. So that'll be good to see. And I guess this is some more breaking news as the news, but I mean, the Cavs-Warriors is the biggest game of the day. That's the one I'll definitely make sure I watch. Outside of that, the Rockets-Thunder, that's another playoff matchup from last year. They seem to love throwing like rematches like that at us. And obviously two huge names, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, the top two MVP candidates from last year. But man, since Chris Paul, my guy, he left the Clippers, so I haven't been able to see him in Clippers games. I haven't watched him that much this year. So I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah, the Rockets are 15-0 with him. They're going to be a problem for the Warriors.
Yeah, they actually just snapped that streak. I don't know if it was last night. I think it was last night. The Rockets lost with Chris Paul in lineup for the first time. So.
Oh, really?
Dang. Yeah. Yeah, it's over, but I mean, still, they're like 16-1, 15-1, whatever that number you threw out was, is pretty impressive for a duo that people didn't think was going to work well.
Oh, yeah, and everybody was like, oh, I don't think the Rockets don't really need him, like stuff like that, but like, him on the Rockets is nice. Him and James Harden have been meshing pretty well, especially when we're on the court together, and it's like, it looks nice, the flow, everything.
Yeah, people thought it would be, problems with, oh, it's my turn. But it actually works pretty well. And the way D'Antoni, staggers their minutes, they play together, obviously, to start games, to end games. But in the middle, they kind of trade minutes. So it's like half the time it's Harden's team, and obviously we know what he's capable of. And then the other half the time it's Chris Paul playing against the backups, and he's going to kill him. You know, it's no contest. He's a top five point guard, so. You know, just having like a Hall of Fame caliber point guard on the court at all times, it's tough.
Yeah, of
course. And in that game against the Thunder, I'd expect them to slaughter OKC just because I watched the Thunder play live when I was at the Garden, and their offense and their bench play is terrible. Like, they would run lineups out there where it's like, I'm looking out at the field and I'm like, okay, so they have Josh Huestis, they have Alex Abrines. They have Andre Roberson, Patrick Patterson. That can't be your bench. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If they don't have one of the big three, Melo, Russ, or PG, Paul George out there, they're basically D-League players. You know, like, Dakari Johnson was playing. Like, he averages, I looked up his stats, he averages like 0.2 points per game. And he's there. He started the game because Steven Adams wasn't there. So he got more minutes than he otherwise should have. But their bench is a problem in a bad way.
Yeah, but they could fix that, like not fully fix it, but they can do well just by moving Melo to the bench.
Yeah, but the problem is, who are you going to start? Josh Huestis?
You start the other one.
The other one.
Right after him. What's his name?
Alex Abrines?
Abrines.
But he can't do anything except shoot when he's wide open, and he can't play defense. I guess Melo can't either.
Melo? Yeah, exactly. So you just take one, put the other one in.
I guess so. It's not a horrible idea. They do probably need to do something. I think I saw they've won 7 of their last 10, so they are picking it up a little bit, but they have been having problems. So go watch them on Christmas Day. They're playing, they're the 8 o'clock game, so primetime night game. Maybe we can finally figure out what the Thunder are doing and where they're headed. So that'll be a good game. I think the Rockets can take it, though. What's that?
100%. I said the Thunder are definitely going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not really much of a question, but, it's out there. And then I figured I'd throw this question out real quick for you. I think it's an easy answer, but you tell me. What's better, football on Thanksgiving or basketball on Christmas?
I think there's a clear answer to this question.
Football?
Thanksgiving football, 100%.
Yeah, it's a wrap. Yeah, okay.
Thanksgiving football, that's a tradition. I feel like the NBA is trying to make Christmas their thing, but, like, I'm sorry. Football, they did it with Thanksgiving. They've been doing it. Because the thing is, like, Thanksgiving football, people play football on Thanksgiving. I don't think anyone's outside playing basketball on Christmas, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's fucking snow on the ground. You're not playing basketball outside. Football on Thanksgiving just go hand in hand because sitting there, you got your plate, you got some, like, turkey, some stuffing, stuff like that. You're watching football. It's a great time. Christmas is a little different. I feel like Christmas has got a little different vibe. And people, like, basketball's on, like, 10, 12. Like, who's watching the game then? Like, Thanksgiving football's at, like, 4, which is a perfect time.
Yeah. And also, it just feels different. Like, on Thanksgiving, it's like the TV is expected to be on watching football. Like, on Christmas, like, I'll grab the remote and, like, throw the TV on. And, you know, people will be like, oh, he's putting basketball on. Like, it's, like, so much less socially acceptable. They're like, oh, you're going to put the game on? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put it on. So, I don't know. I agree with you. I mean, I like basketball, you know, as a sport probably more than football. But Thanksgiving football, nothing beats it. Sitting around, like you said, just grab a spare turkey leg that no one's eaten yet. Post up, no plate. Forget the plate. Just go in on a nice little turkey leg. And, you know, even your grandpa is cool with it. What's that?
I gotta grab the turkey neck, man.
Oh, the neck?
If you're going no plate, then you're going full savage. You gotta grab the neck.
Damn, that's a real savage. I don't know if I've ever eaten a turkey neck.
People eat them, dude.
You're talking about, like, the little gobble thing hanging off their throat?
No, of course not. No. Not the little gobble thing, no. That's like leather. I wouldn't want to chew on that. But I've heard that people do eat the neck.
I didn't know that. I thought they cut the whole head right off.
Yeah, but I saved the neck.
All right. Well, maybe my turkey's like Kevin Durant, no neck.
Ooh.
That's Kevin the way Durant, I like no my neck. Turkey.
I like that. That's a good Kevin Durant's a no-neck turkey.
That's a tough description. We should change his Wikipedia to that.
I'll do it. I know how to.
Do it. Small forward for the Golden State Warriors, no-neck turkey.
Consider it done.
All right, excellent. And so those are Christmas Day games. And we'll move on and we'll close out the episode here, as we always do, or as we will do for the next couple weeks here. NFL picks. Yep. As always, we got to start with upset of the week. And I'll just take this one right off the bat because everyone knows where I'm going. It's the Cleveland Browns. And I know they're 0-14. But this is actually a game. Like, the last few weeks I've been picking them, and I'm like, they have no shot. I'm just going to say it because I'm hoping for the best. This week they're playing the Bears, who are also one of the most futile franchises in the league. John Fox is as good as dead in Chicago. I think the Browns could actually take this one. If they were in Cleveland, I would say it's the lock of the century. Since they're on the road, I can't quite go that far, but they're 6.5-point underdogs. And I'm picking them. And this is the last week to finally get me a dub because they play Pittsburgh week 17 and they will have zero shot in that game. So I'm taking them week 16 here. Finally get their first dub, Browns over Bears.
I like it. I'm just frustrated because I have Jordan Howard and we're in the championship and I can't trust Jordan Howard because if I start him and he throws up a dud, I lose the championship.
Yeah, so well, hey, I'd love to see it. I dare you to start Jordan Howard.
I can't hear you. I'm not starting him.
I dare you.
I'm starting Latavius.
All right, you can start him too. That's fine. I'm not worried.
Latavius against Green Bay. He's going to run all over Green Bay.
All right. I'm cool. I'm just going to sit back and accept it. I got no words.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. Upset of the week. My fantasy team over your fantasy team.
Hey, at least it's an upset. I'm favored. Big time.
Right now, you're projected for 136.
Come check
for
me.
Like 115.
You don't want this Todd Gurley, bro.
Well, you don't want Alvin Kamara.
Bro, I got Mark Ingram out the flex.
Okay, it's cool. I got Zach Ertz. Who's your tight end?
Nah, you can't mess with that. I got, I don't know, Evan Ingram. He's top 5.
Who told you to get him?
That was you. That was you. And I took your advice. And thank you. And I'll also take your ring.
All right, but in all seriousness, because I do have to pick an NFL.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Matchup.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about fantasy, but I'm gonna go with the good old New York Jets over the Chargers. When I met Robbie, I asked him, I was like, "Do you feel confident against the Chargers?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I'm gonna call the upset of the week, you over the Chargers." He said, "Don't worry, dude. I guarantee you 2 touchdowns." Ooh. Robbie Anderson guaranteed me 2 touchdowns. He's going to catch 2 touchdowns.
He's Chargers a man of the Lord, man of his word.
Exactly. They're not in sunny LA. It'll be nice and cold in New York. Bryce Petty's going to get out there. He's going to get it done. New York Jets over the Chargers. You heard it here first. Closing out the Chargers playoff hopes in dramatic style.
Bury him. All right. So we usually go Sunday night game, Monday night game. But as the avid NFL fans know, there is no Sunday night game. Instead, we get 2 games on Christmas, football trying to take both Thanksgiving and Christmas. Really, really crossing the lines there. I think the NBA might sue them, might go after them, similar to the way they're going after Jerry Richardson. But we'll save that for another day. Monday afternoon, we will see Pittsburgh Steelers go down to Houston, take on the bleeding Texans. And where are you going with that one, Steelers-Texans?
Oh, this is easy. 100% going with Steelers. I mean, they're not going to have Antonio Brown. Doesn't matter. They can feed Le'Veon Bell all day, which, you know, helps you out a lot.
Yeah, talk about it.
But there's also Juju Smith, and they also have Martavis Bryant. I really hope that Le'Veon takes his ACL on the first carry.
That's horrible.
So hopefully I'll put that Juju on him. I'll see what I did there. But because that also helps the Patriots, but... easily, like, this is a lock of the century. Steelers are going to beat the Texans. The Texans are a joke, but not Deshaun Watson.
And not only do they not have Deshaun Watson, they lost Tom Savage, right? Is he still out, or is he coming back?
I'm not sure, but all I know is, even if he does come back, I'm starting Yates.
Well, yeah, I think Yates is the quarterback. Nearly 100% positive about that. And the Texans have been in a downward spiral ever since they lost Watson and they lost J.J. Watt. I don't want to say they gave up, because I really don't think they did. It's just... they lost their motivation, and they just don't look good on the football field. The Steelers obviously need this game, and I think Le'Veon will run all over them, help my fantasy team out big time. So I'm going Steelers there as well.
If I'm Bill O'Brien,
go ahead.
I'm saying lose this. Lose this game. Lose out the season, because I want a high draft pick so I can pair someone, maybe a receiver or a new offensive lineman, something that would help out Deshaun Watson, because he's the future down there in Houston. I'm saying tank. Tank, baby, tank.
Tank, baby, tank. Okay. You heard it here first. And so Monday night game, we got the Raiders and the Eagles. Should the Raiders tank too?
100%. Eagles definitely taking this game. Nick Foles threw for like 230 yards last week, but he also had 4 touchdowns. RIP Mike Tosi. You should have started Nick Foles. Let me give you a breakdown of people who don't know Mike Tosi. But so he was starting Nick Foles. He had Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz went down. He was playing me in the matchup last week in the fantasy football playoff. So probably a few hours before the Chargers play, he decides, I'm putting Philip Rivers in. I guess he took some advice from another friend of ours, the sheriff, that you've heard on this
the sheriff
before. So he puts in Philip Rivers, who throws 3 picks, gets him 15 points. He ended up losing to me by 4 points, and Nick Foles put up like 30. So if he had just kept Nick Foles in and been a man, been his own man and made his own decision, he would be in the championship facing you right now. And he did a trade for Zeke specifically so he could come back for the championship, and now he doesn't even get to use that because he wasn't a true Eagles fan and didn't stick with Nick Foles.
So yeah, that
RIP
was
Mike Tosi. Eagles are going to take this one though easily.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you.
Ooh.
Just on the simple premise that when you're the Eagles and you're, what were they sitting at when they lost Carson Wentz, like 10-1 or something, 11-1, wherever they were, everyone's like, oh, you know, there has to be some setback. They'll still be fine, but they'll probably drop a game. I can't believe that would be such a seamless, effortless transition from Wentz to Foles, even though we mentioned on the last episode, Nick Foles is one of the better backups in the league. I can't see it. I refuse to believe that there's just no problems and they'll just coast right on through the rest of the season. They have to have some type of hiccup. I think it comes here at home, but I think the Raiders, not even really a team I believe in, but I think they can go in, get this one dub, helps them build for next year, because obviously they're projected to do way better than where they're currently sitting at 6-8. So they figure a little something out, you know, a little energy to carry over into 2018. And the Eagles get a nice little humbling L, and they write themselves to the playoffs, but they're dropping this one.
Okay, let's make this interesting then. If the Eagles do end up winning,
okay,
you have to concede the championship to me if you win.
No shot.
Oh, so you're not confident in your pick?
No, not confident. Well, no,
so
we'll see. Okay, so this is
confident?
The thing. With that bet right there, it's like you already admitted that you know I'm going to beat you in fantasy this week. Right?
If I had to put money on myself, I would not.
All right, so you're not confident either.
No. I'm still going to run out there. Not saying that I was going to win. Still going to run out there. I'm not going to roll over like a dog, like I'm like a Cleveland Brown.
Don't take a shot at my boys.
I'm doing it. It's not looking too bright for me right now. I'll take football. I mean, I'll take basketball. I beat you in basketball, so you can have football. Which is annoying because the last time I made it to the championship, I lost to you. So
yeah, well, that's the way it should be.
It's a repeat of that. Oh, gosh.
That's the way sports
should
be.
Our friends need to listen to our podcast and make our fantasy leagues a little more interesting.
Yeah, a bit more competitive. The Sheriff.
A little bit more competitive.
We should have the Sheriff on again soon.
We should.
It's been months. A lot of listeners probably have never heard the Sheriff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff's gone down.
Yeah, go check him out. He was on episode 5, if you care to go back in the archives of historical Couchside episodes, which, of course, you can do on whus.org/talk and on iTunes on Apple Podcasts.
Nice. Throw them all out there.
All of them. Well, hopefully, maybe we can figure out how to get some more. A little SoundCloud action, a little Stitcher action.
Ooh.
Who knows?
Ooh,
maybe
Spotify.
Have some things in the works. Yeah, we could try to get Spotify. Anything.
We should try to work out a deal with Amazon. I hear they're trying to buy up a lot of stuff. Buy up Whole Foods. Maybe they can buy us up.
Whole Foods? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Amazon bought Whole Foods.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Whole Foods would broadcast us. We'd be the voice of Whole Foods stores across America.
I mean, we're the voice of sports.
Yeah, that's
true. ESPN is. What's that?
Yeah, they're on a big decline, and there's definitely no other major sports companies on the rise, right?
Absolutely not. Just Couchside.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. That's going to wrap up episode 23 here. It's Friday, December 22nd. Hopefully, we'll be getting back in the booth here, back in the studio next week between Christmas and New Year's. Can't promise anything. So we might be gone a week, but hopefully we'll be back. Until then, go watch some good basketball, some good football. Get educated. Maybe scheme up some number 24s, famous number 24s. We'll be breaking that down next episode. You got one off hand?
There's an easy answer. Shh.
Quiet. It wasn't Kobe week last week. They didn't retire his number.
I'm not even thinking of Kobe.
Oh, that's disrespectful.
No, I'm thinking of Kobe, but there's another one that. Tell you what, if you listen to this, if you can guess the number 24 that I'm thinking of by tweeting at us, I'll hook you up with tickets to the NFL Experience for free.
Ooh, I like it. But that's going to wrap it up for Couchside Sports. And you know what we do? We give you our perspectives on sports from the comforts of our couches, as it should be. And this is your co-host, Kyle French, signing off for the evening.
Michael Burke, signing off. Stand out.
And we will see you guys next week on another episode of Couchside Sports.
All right.
Peace.